What would you do if the one thing you trusted most was stolen from you? For Silas Marner, a lonely weaver bent over his loom in rural England, his gold coins weren't just money. They were his heartbeat, his purpose, his only companion in a world that had betrayed him. But sometimes the cruelest losses crack us open just enough to let something better in. This is a story about how a man who lost everything twice learned that the heart's true currency isn't what we hoard, but what we give away. Silas wasn't always Ravelo's reclusive oddity. In Lantern Yard, he was respected, engaged, and surrounded by fellowship. Then his best friend William Dane framed him for stealing church funds during a cataleptic fit. The congregation drew lots to determine guilt. When they declared him a thief, Silas's world shattered. His fiancée, Sarah, married William shortly after. Declaring there was no just God, Silas fled to Ravelo, carrying his broken faith like an open wound. For 15 years, he narrowed his existence to his loom's mechanical rhythm and nightly coin counting. His body bent to his work, his eyes adapted to see only tiny things. And though not yet 40, children called him Old Master Marner. Each coin became a substitute for human connection. He fondled them like unborn children, arranging them in piles that marked time. When his beloved brown water pot broke after 12 years, he grieved as if losing a friend, revealing how thoroughly objects had replaced people. While Silas lived in isolation, village life centered on Squire Cass and his sons, Godfrey and Dunstan. Godfrey, seemingly destined to marry refined Nancy Lammeter and restore the family estate, harbored a devastating secret, a marriage to Molly Farren, an opium addict he now despised. His younger brother, Dunstan, knew this secret and wielded it like a weapon, extracting money through constant blackmail. When Godfrey needed to recover rent money, Dunstan suggested selling Godfrey's prized horse, Wildfire. But Dunstan's reckless nature led him to join a hunt, where the horse died. Walking home through mist, Dunstan noticed light gleaming from Silas's cottage. Finding it unlocked and the weaver absent, he discovered two heavy bags of gold and vanished into the rainy darkness. The contrast was stark. Godfrey lacked moral courage to face consequences. Dunstan lacked any conscience at all. Returning to find his gold stolen, Silas let out a wild, ringing scream of desolation and stumbled through the winter night to the Rainbow Tavern. His dramatic entrance interrupted a heated debate about ghosts, with startled men mistaking him for an apparition, their pipes moving like the antenna of startled insects. The village's response revealed both warmth and prejudice. The investigation quickly focused on a swarthy peddler from a month earlier. Suddenly, everyone remembered his distinctive earrings, though they argued about whether they were gold rings or yellow glass. This rush to judgment against an outsider painfully echoed the injustice Silas had suffered in Lantern Yard. Meanwhile, Godfrey faced his own crisis when Wildfire's death and Dunstan's disappearance threatened to expose his secret marriage. Though he initially resolved to confess everything to his father, his courage ebbed with Dawn's approach. Instead, he retreated into procrastination, a common refuge of weak minds who lack the strength to face their choices. On New Year's Eve, while Godfrey celebrated at the Red House with Nancy Lammeter, his secret wife Molly trudged through winter darkness to expose their marriage. Overcome by cold, she collapsed near Silas's cottage. Her golden-haired toddler wandered inside during one of Silas's cataleptic fits and settled by his hearth. When Silas recovered, he mistook the child's bright curls for his stolen gold, a confusion that sparked memories of his beloved little sister. Discovering Molly's body, Silas carried the child to the Red House, unknowingly confronting Godfrey with his hidden past. Godfrey's reaction, terror, followed by desperate hope for his wife's death, exposed the moral corruption beneath his pleasant exterior. Yet Silas's passionate cry, "It's come to me, I've a right to keep it," marked his transformation from gold-obsessed recluse to a man claiming human connection. Godfrey, confirming Molly's death with barely concealed relief, chose the easy path again, abandoning his daughter to preserve his social standing and pursue Nancy. The nameless woman received a pauper's burial, but her death profoundly shaped several lives. Silas's determination to keep the child became the village's new fascination. Dolly Winthrop proved most helpful, providing guidance without bustling instruction. The baby was christened Hepzibah after Silas's mother and sister, though called Eppy for practicality. Unlike his gold, which needed nothing and kept his thoughts in an ever-repeated circle, Eppy was a creature of endless claims and ever-growing desires, forcing his thoughts forward. She called him from his loom, making every pause a holiday, taking him outdoors where she delighted in birds and blossoms. As her mind grew, Silas's soul, long stupefied in a cold, narrow prison, unfolded into full consciousness. Eppy transformed Silas's community standing, no longer treated as a useful gnome or brownie approached with wondering curiosity and repulsion, he now met open, smiling faces. Godfrey observed Eppy's growth with hidden interest, maintaining distance while justifying his silence by noting her evident happiness. He built a life of outward perfection with Nancy, yet thoughts of that other child persisted. Meanwhile, Silas gradually opened to Dolly about his past betrayal, and her simple faith, expressed in homely metaphors about bread making and child rearing, helped him reconcile his wounds with his present joy. 16 years later, workers draining the stone pit discovered Dunstan's skeleton with Godfrey's whip and Silas's stolen money. Godfrey confessed to Nancy, "That woman Marner found dead in the snow, Eppy's mother. That wretched woman was my wife. Eppy is my child." Nancy responded without anger, only wishing he'd trusted her sooner. At Silas's cottage, Godfrey offered Eppy privilege and position. She refused. "I can't leave my father, nor own anybody nearer than him, and I don't want to be a lady." Despite his arguments, she remained firm, revealing plans to marry Arid Winthrop, who would live with them and help care for Silas. Walking home defeated, Godfrey accepted his fate. "While I've been putting off and putting off, the trees have been growing. It's too late now." Silas and Eppy journeyed to Lantern Yard, finding only a factory where it once stood. Dolly noted that though some things remain dark, truth exists behind them. Since Eppy came, Silas had light enough to trust in by. The story concludes with Eppy's wedding. Dressed in white, she walks with one hand on Aaron's arm, the other clasping Silas's hand, having assured him he's gaining a son. Looking at their garden home, she declares nobody could be happier. Silas lost his gold twice, once to a thief, once to his own heart, and discovered what we think we need often blinds us to what truly saves us. Your treasure isn't what you count in secret, it's what calls you from lonely work into daylight, transforming your prison into a garden, making you beautifully human again.